You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Today, I want to share this epic chat we had with Tamra Judge. You know, everyone always wants to know about like the trajectory of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast and how we kind of went from the little show that could and kind of now are this big thing and are on the top of the charts and blah, blah, blah. And all of that is said with no ego. But, you know, we've had moments that it's kind of like a plateau, like we're at one level and then something major happens and then we kind of move forward and then we're at another level and then things keep happening. One of the first big things I think that happened, like I will always be appreciative and loyal and just like thankful to Tamra. This interview really, it was kind of the first time we ever had like a massive viral press. Just Tamra was the gift that kept giving in this interview, but I really also enjoyed her. It was right kind of after her and Vicky were no longer part of the franchise. It was right after they were let go, and it just, we covered it all. We covered it all. Google this interview because it's out there. There's lots of things that got picked up, stuff that Tamra said about Heather Dubrow, which you're going to listen to right now, but I mean, Tamra was drinking a beer, so like, you know, this is, I don't know. This one is, I feel, a great one to share, and I still want to hear from more people about what you guys are thinking about the OC this season. I'm going to be doing some shows covering the OC coming up. I mean, I have such mixed feelings, and I have changed my opinion. I was convinced, I've said a lot that this was Shannon's last season. I'm not so sure anymore. I'm starting to rethink that. I think Shannon... Do we have a soft spot for Shannon this season? So enjoy this chat with Tamra. It's a trip down memory lane. Everyone who hasn't heard it, feel free to check it out. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back Behind the Velvet Rope. And we just have to get right into it today because we are joined from 3,000 miles away. I mean, you are 3,000 miles away.
I am, and missing New York so bad.
And like, does everyone recognize that voice? Like, do we need an introduction? Have you guessed who it is?
That's my opinion!
That is literally the best introduction. The one and only Miss Tamra Judge.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing? Do you miss me dearly?
Well, yes, I do. I would always see you in New York. Every time I went, you would always be there.
Well, see, now you understand my purpose for it all, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that then.
You just thought I was a crazy stalker.
No, I just thought you were a fan. You know, there's a lot of, we have so many great fans. We really do.
I
thought you were just another one of those great fans.
Thank you. Thank you for being nice to me when you thought I was just, you know, a fan on a street corner.
That's all right. We developed this relationship throughout the years.
We have.
Yeah,
I love you.
And it was always on a street corner.
It was always on a street corner. It was kind of, I mean, there was a little BravoCon thrown in there.
You're kind of a prostitution whore.
You know what? Sometimes the best things go down on a street corner.
Well, yeah, you're not lying.
I love your Real Housewives shirt that you're wearing too.
Thank you. I don't know if you can see. I don't know how much of me you can see.
I can see from like your chest up. So I see it says Real Housewife. And then is that like a beer mug?
No, it's a roll of toilet paper. It says the Real Housewives of Quarantine.
Oh my God.
Yes. One of my friends sent this to me and I thought, oh my God, I have to wear it.
I was going to say, like, if you came up with that idea, you should start selling it right now.
I know. I think it's already out there.
Why the hell didn't I think of that?
I know, right?
So what's going on with you? How's quarantine? Well, we were just saying before we started this, like, you're working more now than ever.
I am busier now than I've been in a long time. I'm like, how did I manage to film and do everything else? It's like, it's crazy. Like I've been getting asked to do interviews every single day. And I'm like, to the point where I'm like, I always say yes. And then now I'm like, I can't say yes every single time. I'm going insane.
Well, you said yes to the right person today.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I mean, I'm the same way. So like, I feel like, let me just reach out to people. Like, I don't know who's going to want, it's the same thing. Every single person I am reaching out to is like, I'd love to talk to you. Can you do it like tomorrow? And I'm like, and I'm not one to say no. So yeah. I'll say yes.
Yeah. I've been just busy doing so many Zoom interviews. And then tonight we have the Zoom happy hour party with Vicky, which is a brand new concept. It's really weird how things have changed and adjusted to quarantine life. Everything is just, you know, everybody is a star now on Zoom.
Seriously. So how did that come about? Like, people are going to just join you guys on Zoom and everyone.
Yeah, it wasn't really our idea. It was like a promoter approached us and said, hey, do you want? And I'm like, shit, why didn't I think of that?
Seriously.
Right? Yeah. So people are like, at first we put the tickets out and people were, I'm like, oh, I think those are a little high. And then people were like, hey, those, you know, people can't afford it. And I'm like, can you please like reduce it? That means less money for us, but it's so many hands in the pot, agent and the promoter and the me and Vicky. So we did it for the bare minimum that we could do it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Is Vicky excited?
She's super excited. Yeah.
What else? So how's Eddie? How's quarantine?
Eddie's good. Eddie is, he goes to the gym every single day. He just goes to work as if everything was just normal. He can't sit still. He's either cycling at the studio, just working behind his computer at the studio. We really did revamp everything. There was a lot of rumors out there saying that we were closing down. We are closed down. And it is hurting us, you know, terribly. But we took the time to just kind of reinvent what we're doing. And it was kind of a long time coming. So we brought in a trainer to professional athletes that's taken over part of our studio. It's a really good friend of ours. And we've been just remodeling and putting in new flooring and all that stuff and turf. So we're coming back strong.
You know, protein powders can feel so intimidating, this whole no pain, no gain BS. But the truth is, deep down, we all need protein, whether it's about muscles and working out and doing reps, or just taking a nice leisurely stroll. That's where essential protein from Ritual comes in. Ritual's essential protein is here, no pun intended, to shake things up. I love the fact that it's a great vanilla taste and there's no sugar added, no fillers, no colors, no shady additives, and it's soy-free, gluten-free, and formulated with non-GMO ingredients. I found Ritual so easy to use. You just add water, shake, and sip. And I love that it comes in 3 premium formulations for different stages in life. And listen, we all have different unique nutrient needs. To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. It's a money-back guarantee, guys. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/velvet to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/velvet. That's amazing. I'm just so jealous you have a gym to go to. I would do anything to be like BFFs with you. Well, I'd do anything to be BFFs with you anyway, yeah. But to live in the OC and just to be like, here's my key and Eddie's going to let you in.
Just go ahead and go in. Yeah. I wish I could say I was there every single day, but unfortunately my days consist of Zoom and it's like, you have to like kind of make yourself a little bit presentable. So you know, get up and get ready. And by the time everything's over, it's like, I really don't want to go work out. So I did go work out today. I had to. I was going crazy. I've been so busy lately that my mental state was just getting a little wacky. So I'm like, I'm going to go work out. That's what I need.
I'm so jealous. Well, here's the thing. So like a lot, I do these interviews all day, lots of housewives, lots of Bravo people. And sometimes I'm like, okay, what am I going to talk to this person about? With you, I'm just like, I started like, I don't even know where to begin. There's so much.
Oh, geez. Okay. I'm ready.
No, like, listen, it's all good. So here's my thing. So listen, you've been on the show for a long time.
Yeah.
So like what it sticks out in your mind is like some of the highs and some of the lows. Let's just start out there
I really do get asked that question a lot. And I always say, I don't remember what I have for breakfast. So that's like really like 12 years of my life. Well, there's definitely highs and lows on the show. And, you know, it all depends on, and I hate to say this, like how you're edited to look that year. It really is. Like last year, I really went through the whole season thinking like, oh my God, you know, was I a little boring? Like what? And next thing I know, I'm like the one in the midst of everything. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like I was friendly with everybody. Like what happened? So you just never know. But I would have to say that season 9 was probably my worst season ever. I was going through a lot of personal things in my life with my ex and my daughter, and it had just started. And that's when we went to Bali. Remember when I ran and threw my shoe at the producer and said, yes, you'll never see me again. Yeah. I really thought that I was done and over that season. I'm like, I'm never coming back.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you really truly thought about just quitting at times?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's many times. I would have to say probably the last 3 years, I was like, okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. You know, and it's just, it's kind of like a drug. You know, they pay you a lot of money, and but I'm so happy now. I am. I felt like there was a ton of bricks lifted off my shoulders. It just, the stress level was getting so bad on the show. It really is.
I mean, it really is like golden handcuffs. Listen, because like the first year you start, it pretty much costs you money the first year with hair and makeup.
I made $7,000 my first year.
Wow.
That's what I got paid. The rest, I probably spent more than that just on clothes and stuff. But the show was so different back then.
Right. I think it's like 60 now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah. That's what I've heard too.
Yeah.
So, but 7,000. Okay. Well, that's even less.
Yeah. And then I probably made 50,000 my next year.
But then towards the end, it's like golden handcuffs and like as bad as it is, then you get a contract and you're like,
you have to put your time in to really make money. And I see that, like, it's kind of like that with any job. But nowadays the girls start out with a lot, much, you know, bigger chunk.
So season 9 was your low. Any highs that stick out?
I don't know. I've had so many good years on the show. I think the second or third year, Eddie was on when he proposed to me. That was pretty amazing because we were done filming and we had planned on going to Bora Bora and he had paid for it. It was already done. And he was talking to the producer and told him that he was going to propose. And they're like, oh my God, can we please film it? And, you know, normally on these things, if they travel with you, they pay for things.
Right.
And I guess he's like, well, okay, but, you know, just a day or so, that's it. So they did, they came out for 2 days, I think. And that was pretty amazing because back then the trips weren't that elaborate.
Right.
And to go to Bora Bora and to have a trip like that just with the two of us was pretty amazing.
That's amazing. And you know what one of my, it's nothing against this person in particular, but you know what one of my Tamara highlights was?
What?
You, and I'm not, I don't always go low, but you throwing that drink in Gina's face.
Oh my God.
And it's not that I don't like Gina or anything like that.
Right.
That was classic.
Can I tell you the backstory about that?
Yes, yes.
So basically, I'm like wiping my nose. My allergies are so bad. Gina had been tipping off the press and telling them things to make me look bad in this whole separation, divorce, and all this stuff. So I had politely asked her, I said, can you please stop? I know you're doing this. They're quoting you. You're putting my kids in the press. You're talking about my children. Please stop. She did it again. And I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to get pissed off. And then we were away in Napa and it was right before the season finale. And I remember being in Napa and opening up my phone or something, I don't know, so long ago. And it was a story on Radar, basically saying that I beat Simon or something. It was just something crazy like that. And I said, this is bullshit. I'm over this. So I contact my attorney and he's like, you know, let's just hand her a, I still can't say it to this day, a cease and desist.
Yeah. Yes,
I always say it wrong. So I said, okay, do I have to have it served? And he says, no, you can serve her. So we were, I told the producer, I go, I'm serving her ass. I'm sick of this shit. She won't shut up. This will make her shut up. And then he said to me, he's like, yeah, he kind of put it in my head. He's like, you know what? If things get, just throw her in the pool or throw wine in her face or something like that. So when I'm in that scene and I give it to her and Gina says to me, I'll throw your skinny ass in the pool. That triggered me right there. Because that's what the producer had. So obviously they had talked to her as well. And so I just took my glass and just swung it. And I just went, oh shit, what did I just do? Like I had like a whole like mental internal breakdown. And I just started running. I ran. I don't know where I was going, but we got the hell out of there. And I remember Eddie had never spent the night at my house at that time because my kids were home. And I said, can you just please spend the night tonight? And I'm just going to wear my makeup and I'm going to lay down. And if I get arrested tonight, I want to have a good mugshot.
That's always good, right?
Oh my God. But I just think back and all the crazy things that had happened throughout the years. I'm just like, oh my God, like I definitely have calmed down in my older age. I don't know that I would do that again, probably, but
Did you have a lot of moments where producers like, I mean, you know, you felt that like, you know, whispering in this one's ear, that one's ear, like throw a drink, do this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I was kind of always their go-to girl too. Cause they knew that I'm a team player. So if there was times where we were all in a room, they'd be like, hey, Tamara, come here. Like, why don't you ask this question? You know? So I learned though, I don't play towards the end. I wouldn't do that anymore because basically what happened is I would do that. And then I would end up looking like the asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you feel about like, you know, like the bigger implication, like now that you're not there, like, what do you feel about the whole franchise? You know, just that, like they get people, which obviously I would assume most people's motivation is, I mean, I guess there's a lot of things what motivates yeah. someone to go into this, you know, like, look, they bring you in, they pay you something, you're there, you give your life. And then when they're done with you, and I don't just mean you, I mean, like anyone, there's the door and it's like, yeah. you've never existed.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And that was one of the things that after, you know, I was demoted, basically, I knew that I wouldn't. Like I always said, you know, I'm going to be true to myself. If I'm at the point in my career on the show that I'm not that interesting to be full time, then it's just time for me to go. You know, so Eddie said, and he's been saying for the past couple of years, he's like, you know what, come on, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. So I said I wasn't going back. And then I it was like just a breakup. Like nobody reached out to me. I'm like, you know, I had these producers and crew members and PAs and audio in my house for 12 years. And a lot of them had been on the show throughout. We've had some come and go, but the majority core, you know, crews were always the same. So that's really what I miss the most is just hanging out with them and talking to them. But literally, like, I just felt like my life crashed on top of me after that, because not only was I dealing with my ex's cancer and the kids dealing with that and being so sad and so like scared for him and the kids. And then on top of it, it's like I walked away from a job from 12 years and everything was just crazy. And then nobody was talking to me. And I'm like, they're done with you.
People don't realize that.
Yeah. And it took a few weeks. Well, Andy reached out to me. Andy and I have always been close, and he still to this day will send me text messages asking how I am, asking how Simon is. And I do talk to production once in a while too. So
is that how it was like in the beginning though, where you were, so your situation's a little different. So if they truly came to you and said, we want you back for three, you know, demoted, you can have three episodes.
Well, I've always told them that I would not be a friend. I said, I'm not doing that. I've always been a team player. I bust my ass. I'm in the majority of all the drama all the time. I always speak my mind. I'm not an Emily Simpson. I don't just sit back and just be like, oh, you know, and then stay shit in my interviews. No, I'm in it to win it. And so what were we talking about?
So did they come to you and say like, you are coming back?
Okay. You asked for the three episodes.
Yeah.
So I always told them, I said, listen, I will not take a friend. I went public and said it, and they knew. And so the production people, two people that told me, basically said, like, we knew that you would not take a friend role. So we offered you a reduced role of three to just exit because we felt like it wasn't fair for you to not come back at all. And I'm like, right. Well, F you, I'm not doing that either. So either you want me or you don't want me. It's just that simple. I'm not going to come back and, you know, be like the highlight of everything and be in all the commercials, but only be in three episodes. Like, I don't want to be used. I know what my worth is.
Good for you. And that's what.
And it was good money. I mean, it was my episodic rate. So I would have made, you know, six figures doing it. But I'm
really?
Like.
Because the rumor I read was like $60,000.
An episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 60,000 total.
No, that's my episodic rate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think what it was kind of like, we're going to give you three, but if we can squeeze six out of you, that would be great too. But I just didn't have any interest. And I just felt like it was just God telling me like, it's time, you know, because I really had issues going into it, thinking that I was going back and then thinking like, I shouldn't go back because of the kids. And, you know, the kids are with me full time now. And how am I supposed to go to parties and travel and do all these things? Of course, this is before, you know, the pandemic, and have my kids at home. It didn't feel right for me, but it didn't feel right for me. Like, I wasn't prepared to just walk away from seven figures either. So it was a tough one. And it was just kind of like, oh shit, what am I doing? Is this really happening? And then I got the call. They said, you know, we want to meet with you for our kickoff meeting. And that's what we do, like a week before we start filming. And I went, oh shit, okay, this is happening. How am I going to navigate? I was really stressed out about how am I going to navigate, because the time Simon had not come forward with his cancer, and I did not think that, you know, I would not be the one to do it. That's his personal business. And people would see me, like, I was always afraid, like, I'm going to get that call while I'm filming and something happened. You know, it was just so much point. I think like the worst case scenario of everything, I always do.
Totally.
So it worked out in the end. It really did. It worked out.
So like in your mind, like, you weren't really fired or you were demoted? Not to get hung up on semantics. Yeah, yeah. I just think like people are always so curious, not even about you, just about every, like, the semantics of it with so many people.
Yeah, no, I was shocked when I got the call, because I really thought that I was coming back, and everything they had said to me was like, yeah, okay, we're going to start filming then. I had all the dates and everything. And then when I got the call, I was just kind of like, wait, what? You just called me 2 days ago to set up a meeting. And they're like, I know, they told me in production, they're like, this is not our decision at all.
So you were shocked.
I was a little bit in shock, but I'm telling you, it worked out the way it was supposed to work out, because really I should have just walked. My plan was to walk away at the reunion. I was going to announce that I was going to leave at the reunion, because I had just got the information about Simon right before the reunion. And I thought, I can't do this. I can't. And it's been just an emotional roller coaster for the past 6 months. And I couldn't imagine filming during that. So
how is Simon?
He's doing the best he can do. You know, he's gone through treatment and we're just waiting. He's, you know, I don't want to say too much, because it's really is his personal business, but
right.
I can't really say much more than he already has, but we're just praying for the best outcome. But it's been very emotional and very hard to watch.
I mean, I could imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially for your kids.
Yes.
Too.
Well, it's been extra hard because can't really be around them. So he has seen them a couple times in the past like 2 months only. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking to me, because it's hard enough to fight cancer, but then have to do it without your loved ones around you.
Right.
That's really hard.
Did your decision, I mean, because it sounds like you kind of all along said I would never be a friend, which I respect that. Like, did that kind of belief be reinforced after you saw Vicky's experience as being a friend?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like she got screwed. I feel like she was 90% of the drama. If it wasn't for her, there wouldn't have been all that drama. And let's face it, that's what the show's about. They want the drama.
Totally.
And then she got paid a quarter or half of what she normally would. So no, nope.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
What about like at the reunion? Did you feel Vicky was mistreated at the reunion?
According to Vicky, she was lied to. She was told she was going to be there the entire time. What she had said to them is, I'm all in or I'm all out. You're not going to sit me on the couch after 14 years and, or bring me in, you know, in the middle of the reunion and then walk me out. And she said she was told that was not going to happen, that she would be there the entire time. And that didn't happen. So she was mad. She was really mad.
Yeah. And I could understand that, like, after all these years.
Right.
Being brought out, like, you know, like a brand new friend that was on for one season for 3 minutes.
Yeah. And then you have other people sitting on the couch and you're thinking, why the hell are they even here? Like, they don't even deserve a spot on this couch right now. So that was tough.
Are you shocked then at like this new cast? I mean, not new, but like what they're now going forward with?
Absolutely. 100%. A lot of people are.
A lot of people are.
A lot of people are. And I think it's a huge mistake, but we will see. You know, it might work out, it might not. But I just went, but they've had a lot of problems casting the show. I really feel like after Heather left, the show's just kind of gone like this. And I really felt like last year it kind of picked back up. And then they go and slice the cast in half. It's like, what are you doing?
Who do you think is like the biggest dead weight on the cast currently?
I think Emily is. I think she's dead weight on the cast. You know, 2 years, usually your first year, you get a break, second year, but I don't know.
And Gina, not as much.
I think Gina speaks her mind. That's the thing. Like, she'll be honest and speak her mind, and she's not going to play these little games, and she's not afraid of anybody. Where Emily was always really nice to our face, but then she'd get in her confessionals and say things. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, a good housewife says it to your face, not just behind, you know, a camera. So that's, and I just don't think like there's a whole lot of interesting stuff going on there.
Right. Like, do you think like
she's a... doesn't mean she's a bad person at all. I just feel like, you know, some people are made to be on TV and some people are not, you know?
Totally.
And sometimes saying like, she's not good for reality might mean she's just a little too normal.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Well, like, I speak to so many housewives that are not on the show anymore, but not people like yourself, like people that were on for like one season or two seasons. And the story is always the same. They're like, I thought I was signing up for a reality show. I brought my real life. And I'm like, no, well, that's why it didn't work out. You're not good for TV because you thought you were just going to film your real life. I think the people that make it, like you or Vicky or anyone, like, do you think, like, when does that happen? Like, I mean, and did that happen? Like, it's still reality, but like, you knew what you were doing. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Yeah. I mean that in like a good way.
Well, I think it takes a certain personality to be a good reality star, I call it that. But it's because I don't really give a shit. I say and do whatever I do on camera as I do in my real life. I don't filter myself. I don't produce myself. I feel like there's a lot of people on the show that produce themselves and only want themselves to be seen in a good light. It's the same type of people that filter all their pictures. So there's no nose holes. They want their life to look perfect. And people now, they don't want to see that.
No.
They want to see. People loved when Shannon pulled her shirt up and showed her stomach because that's real life. That's what people are dealing with. They don't want this filtered body that's like, oh, you know. So
totally.
It just takes a certain type of person. I think Shannon's really good on the show because she does let it all out. She says it and she does it and she shows it. And there's other people that are like, well, I don't really want to show my bad marriage and I don't, well, then you shouldn't be on a reality show.
Totally.
So
I would agree with all of that. you know, it's kind of like what you sign up for. You just right. got to let it all out.
Yeah.
It's shocking though, because like, you know, you have your views on who's made for TV. And I mean, it seems like if we sat down, you and I would probably agree on every single person.
Well, tell me. And yes, this is a beer.
Good. You need to have a beer. Well, I mean, it's just shocking to me that after all these years, like I say all the time, like I have no ego, like hire me, Bravo. Hello. Like, how do they get it wrong? It's so shocking to me.
I don't know, because I feel like they got it right on so many other shows, but I feel like they just have a really hard time getting it right in Orange County. I really do. I mean, I love Gina to death, but Gina's a New Yorker. Emily just doesn't belong on the show, doesn't fit in. Kelly, I don't even know what to say about her right now.
Let's talk about Kelly for a minute.
There's a lot to talk about.
Do you want to have another sip of your beer first?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I mean, I feel that's appropriate. Well, okay.
Oh, I hear the sirens. I feel like I'm in New York.
You do? You miss New York, don't you?
I do. One of the things I really miss about not being on the show is, well, I wouldn't have gone to New York anyways yet because they were still filming, but Julius, Priscilla, Andy,
live.
New York. I mean, that's what I really am going to miss, but I could still go to New York.
Listen, you need to come and we need to all hang out and have drinks.
Yeah, I will definitely come. I'll still go. I can't wait to travel again.
The free trips to New York were nice, right?
They were nice. Yeah. I mean, anything free is nice, but I have a few bucks I can pay for my own way.
I'm planning on coming to the OC when all this is over. I am literally, okay. I've never gone so long without getting on an airplane. So I'm losing my mind.
Oh, too. Me too. I was always on an airplane. And I have to tell you, like, I am a person that loves to stay home. So has this affected me? Like, some people are going crazy. No, it hasn't. I'm busier than ever, but I love being home. I enjoy being home, except for it's getting very expensive for me to be home because I love to decorate, and redecorate.
Really?
Yes. So we had just moved right before the pandemic and the
shutdown,
or actually really kind of during. Right at the very beginning of it. So we were under construction still. And so there's still a lot of things in the house that's not done, but I've been busy doing that.
How come you guys moved? Cause you know, like there's the haters online.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places. Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan. But nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
I have to tell you guys about an amazing new service I found called Framebridge. Framebridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving your house. You can add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift, from art prints and diplomas to the photos sitting on your phone. You can Framebridge just about anything. Here's how it works. Just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo. Preview your item online in dozens of frame styles and gallery wall layouts. Choose your favorite one. The experts at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. If you don't know which frame to pick out when you look at all the options online, you can get free recommendations from their talented designers. I personally used it to frame my Behind the Velvet Rope logo. I chose a very simple frame and I love it. Get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code VELVET to save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to Framebridge.com, enter promo code VELVET. Framebridge.com, promo code VELVET, and get 15% off your first order. I have to tell you about a new nutritional product that I started using called Athletic Greens. Now, I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted better gut health, I wanted more energy, and I wanted to optimize immune system. Well, let me tell you, what I love best about Athletic Greens is it's easy. I personally didn't have, and never will have time for any nutritional product that is complicated to use. You take one scoop and you add 8 ounces of water, and that's all you need. The other thing I love about Athletic Greens, it actually tastes great and it's inexpensive. It costs less than $3 a day. I love it. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, so there's no nasty chemicals or anything artificial. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/velvet. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/velvet to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Do you guys do what I do every January? First, you think about the year prior of all the things you didn't accomplish that you wanted to. Then you make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. And as soon as you break them, you feel bad about yourself. Are you in your own mind the way I was? Well, get out of your mind. Let me tell you, therapy can help you learn to be kinder and gentler to yourself and help you move forward. I have to tell you guys about Talkspace. Talkspace has been a miracle for me. First of all, they match you with a licensed therapist that you can connect with not only from your computer, but from your phone, anywhere on the go. I also love that Talkspace focuses on your schedule. They fit your schedule, not the other way around. With live chat, video, and audio sessions, you could easily fit mental health into your daily routine. I also love that your information is extremely private and it's just between you and your therapist. Listen, Talkspace can help you with anything, anxiety, depression, self-doubt. Make your mental health more than just another New Year's resolution with Talkspace. Visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code VELVET at sign up. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code VELVET. I've been sleeping so much better since the holidays, and that's because I have a Helix mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody's unique, right? Listen, Helix has soft, medium, and firm mattresses. They have mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. I took the Helix quiz and I was matched with an extra firm mattress. And they even get into details like, do you sleep on your side, back, stomach? Do you move around all night? Just go to helixsleep.com/velvet, take their 2 minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/velvet. That's helixsleep.com/velvet. Go now for $200 off and 2 free pillows.
Do you guys love a good whodunit as much as I do? Well, listen, if so, then you'll love June's Journey. You play as June Parker, an amateur detective investigating a series of mysteries. These mysteries are full of twists and turns around every corner. And let me tell you, June is freaking fierce. I personally play to escape all my work and running this podcast and everything that's going on in the world. And no matter how many times I play, I have to tell you, it really puts your powers of observation to the test. I still kind of get thrilled every time I can solve the actual case. These housewives ain't got nothing on June. She's awesome. And look at all the drama we've dealt with Real Housewives over the past few years. If June were on the case, she'd be able to tell you who said what to whom and who was in the right and who was in the wrong. And listen, there's new chapters every week, so there's always a new case waiting to be cracked. I can't tell you, it's so freaking addicting and so much fun. Ready to awaken your inner detective? Download June's Journey free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Oh, okay, so basically what happened was, is I, you know, we had that big house in Kodo, and I announced that I wasn't coming back, and a lady that had been looking in this area that I'm at. So where I was, it was a double gated community. There's not a lot of those in Kodo. So it's just a little exclusive area. Not a lot of houses. And she was looking for a house in that area. So she, her real estate agent reached out to my friend Shelly, who's very well known because I've done a lot of transactions lately, buying houses, selling houses. And it, her name's always smeared in the press, which she loves. And she called me and she said, "Hey, do you think you'd want to sell your house?" And I said, "No, I don't think so, but let me just, you know," because losing that kind of money is a big chunk. So Eddie contacted the financial advisor, our financial advisor, and he said, "No," he says, "you're fine." He says, "For one thing, you live way below your means. And another thing is there's no doubt in my mind she's going to get something else." And so he came back and Eddie told me that. And I said, "Okay, let's just stay. Too many changes at once is not good." And mind you, this is days after I announced I wasn't going back.
Right.
So a few days went by and Shelly called me back and she said, "They upped it." And I said, "How much?" She's like, $250,000. And so we called our financial advisor and he goes, "Sell it. It's a house. Sell it. Pocket the money." So we went ahead and sold it. And I was like, in like, "Oh shit, what have we done? I love this house." But then I'm like, "It's just a house. I'd rather stick the money in the bank." And we had put a lot of money down on it too. So I'm like, and thank God we did. Thank God we did. Because now the market has crashed. The house is not going to be worth. And we had bought it at the, like, more than it was appraised for because it was totally redone. So I was fine with that. I didn't have to go in there and do anything. So we had a house in Covenant Hills that Eddie owned, and it's a beautiful house, 4,000 square feet, gated community. And they had sent a text message literally 2 hours after we decided that, you know what, let's go ahead and take this offer. And the house was never on the market. And
It all worked out.
Thank God. Because he's had this house 17 years. Our house payment's nothing.
See, that's...
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just a house. And like, why stress yourself out? Like, who cares?
And it was kind of like, my kids are happy because we are closer to their school now. We're closer to their dad. So they had lived in this house for quite a few years. So we're all happy. I'm happy. I feel like God was definitely looking out for me when all that went down.
See, that's good. And right, like the market's now, God knows where.
Oh.
Okay, so let's hold off on talking about Kelly for a minute. Don't think I forgot about that.
I did.
I mean, if you're trying to change the subject. So let's go back, because we said, you know, sometimes they get it right and sometimes they get it wrong, which I think is so obvious when they get it wrong or right. Yeah. So let's just go back and talk about quickly some of your co-stars.
Okay.
I mean, another great moment for you. I mean, Jesus Jogs, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Let's talk about Miss Jesus Jogs. What do we think about her today? Like, what's your...
Oh, I don't see her or talk to her or know anything about her. Like, she left 8 years ago, 7 years ago. I don't even know how long ago. And she was just somebody that really wasn't smart enough for reality TV. And that's saying a lot. No, I just felt like she wasn't maybe not interesting enough.
No, but she was more interesting than some.
Yeah, she was more interesting than some. I'd have to say that. I don't, she was really pretty. She was good to look at. She said some dumb things like Costa Rica's in Mexico, like kind of things. But I think it got to a point where it just got boring. She just got boring. So I don't think she was one of the worst ones at all.
No, I don't think so either.
I think there's other ones that I'm sure you're going to bring up.
Okay, so let's bring up who, I mean, along the same lines, Gretchen.
Yeah, I was shocked when they got rid of her, to be honest with you. I didn't think they would.
Right. I mean, I think they would love to be back on the show of some sort. What about Megan King Edmonds?
Still talk to her. I thought she was good. I thought she was good. But the problem was that she didn't live here. She lived in St. Louis. And I think that having her on the show now would be great because everything that's going on in her life.
Are you shocked about anything? Like that she's getting divorced?
I am actually a little shocked. I'm a little shocked. But I think he has a little bit of a history of...
of liking extracurricular activities?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, her TikTok video, she's kind of winning TikTok in quarantine.
It's amazing. See, okay, so I have this thing about TikTok. Like, adults, get off of TikTok.
I don't understand it. I don't get it.
But Megan is good. I like
her. She's good, right?
She's really good. And they're not just like dances. They're like skits and she's on it. And I'm like, she's good.
And I forgot what it was. She threw some shade at Jim on TikTok.
Oh, she did?
It was some dance and she ended. It was something like that. And she ended like, it was geared towards him. It was very underhanded, but funny at the same time and subtle. But yeah, I don't know.
Megan is, she's very smart. She's very book smart. So she can put those little jabs in there.
And you still keep in touch with her. So that's good.
Yeah.
What about Miss Dubrow?
Their biggest mistake, getting rid of her. Biggest mistake. I feel like the show has not been the same since she was gone.
Why do you think they got rid of her? Because I heard stuff, but what do I know?
I think it was a personal thing. I really do. I think it was a personal conflict with an executive at Bravo, is what I think.
Like what type of personal conflict?
Just like personality, like clashes. And it just didn't, she wanted things done a certain way. But trust me, there's people on the cast right now that are way worse. Way worse.
Really?
Yes. Yes. On them like crazy, yelling, screaming. Yes. Blowing their phones up. You're going to do this. Yeah. Oh,
like yeah. Who's the worst?
I can't say. Wasn't me. I was game player. Like,
I know who it is.
Who?
Shannon. As you take another sip of your beer. Okay, so that's a yes. But so Heather, right. So you think it was just like a conflict with like an executive?
It had to have been. I felt like she was amazing on the show. She gave the show, you know, a little bit of class, a little bit more class than it has right now. And, you know, she was always fun trips and exciting things planned for us. And it's not like something she just did for TV because she still does it. I mean, look at her Mother's Day stuff. She has pictures hanging from the ceiling, you know, and memories. And I'm like, oh my God. So that's Heather.
And that was really her life.
Yes. Yes.
Was she shocked? I mean, did you talk, like, was she shocked she was let go?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She took it bad. It was hard for her. So like she's the one that taught me to unfollow everybody because it's the easiest way to get over things. And that was my first, I remember that, you know, because at first when she, what was it? How long ago was it? 4 or 5 years ago? She was also offered a part-time role and didn't take it. So she wasn't really fired. She was offered part-time. So I think what they wanted to do is just kind of smack her around and say, you know what, here's a part-time role. And then the next year they probably would have brought her back. So, but I'm just speculating. But what did you ask me? I forgot the question again.
Now you're making me forget the question. What was she shocked? Like,
oh, was she shocked? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it took her a while to get over it too. Cause she reached out to me as soon as she found out and she's like, oh my God, I can't even believe this. Like this is, what is going on in the world that you're not going to be on the show. And then she's like, she told me, she's like, it took me a while. She goes, it probably took me 3 years to really like follow people and, you know, talk about the Housewives again. She goes, it was really hard.
So she just unfollowed everyone, and that's where you learned it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I took it personal. I'm like, oh my God. And she like just really cut ties with everyone because she just needed to get through it.
That's understandable.
But,
like,
and I totally get it. I totally get it. I took me 30 days to get over it.
Like, so you feel, cause well, you know, there's like, what is it? The 4 or 5 stages of grief.
Yeah. Yeah.
The anger. So you feel like you are totally over it.
Yeah. I think actually it took me about 3 months, and it probably right before we moved into the house, I would still just be like, what did I do wrong? You know? And I even asked Andy, I go, what? He goes, you did nothing wrong. He's like, you were the perfect housewife. He goes, they just want to see what it's going to be like without you on it. And he says, trust me, they're going to want you back. He goes, and just think like the following year when you come in and you're like, the bitch is back.
Well, that's why I really do feel if someone doesn't need the money, it makes more sense to never take a friend role. I think it could only be the nail in your coffin. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I do too. And I just feel like it's just at my stage of the game, like 12 years in, it's just a smack in my face. Like if they would have came to me and say, listen, like, you know what, we're going in a different direction. Like, let's like, how about if you do like a limited role? And if they would have talked to me about it like that, I'd be like, you know, okay, well maybe. But it was the way it was presented to me. It was just kind of like, screw you. No.
I don't blame you. Yeah. Now, talking about taking Heather Dubrow's advice and unfollowing. So you and Vicky unfollowed Shannon.
Yes.
And that was really just what? Because of like the dinner that she had with Kelly Dodd.
No, actually that was just the icing on the cake. Yeah. Yeah. I hate to even talk about it. I feel like I've said what I had to say, and I don't want to badmouth Shannon whatsoever, but, just kind of turned her back on me and Vicky, and it hurt because we were there for her for so many years, talking her through the divorce and taking her calls in the middle of the night. And it hurt me more than anything because I'm like, I'm sitting back and I feel like my rug has been pulled out from underneath me, and I'm, you know, heartbroken for my children. And, you know, I'm thinking like, what the hell, like 12 years of my life, like, who am I now? Like, I have like an identity crisis, like, hi, I'm Tamara from The Real Housewives. I'm like, who am I? Like, I'm just Tamara now. So it's just a lot that goes through your head. It was just kind of like shock. And I wanted my friend there. Like, I was always there for her. And then I just feel like when things happen in your life, you really find out who your true friends are. And it's just that simple. And then when I saw that picture, I'm like, hell no, I can't, I don't want to watch that because I'm already hurt because you've turned your back on me. But now I got to watch you buddy up to somebody that you warned me not to hang out with last year. No, I'm not playing this game. So I don't, I'm hurt more than anything, but I don't want to see it. I just don't want to see it. I still follow Gina.
That makes, I mean, being hurt makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you think Shannon's just doing it. Like, I need my job. I need my money. Like, I have to just keep my nose to the ground.
Probably. I'm not saying that we didn't have any communication after she found out. We had, but we went from talking every single day, multiple times a day. And if you know Shannon, she's very demanding. If you don't pick up the phone, she'll continue calling and texting until you do. And so right. I would start calling her and she would throw me the voicemail. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, so it was just hard. It was just really hard on me because I needed somebody and she wasn't there for me. And then to see that, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see this. I wish her well. I hope things go well. I feel sorry for her this season. Good luck. But yeah, so it was nothing more than that. I just felt like I needed the same support that I gave her when she, you know, the past 4 years.
That makes sense. I'm still hopeful that you guys will repair this somehow.
Yeah, maybe season 16.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our part one sit-down interview with the one, the only, classic mega housewife, Miss Tamara Judge. And stay tuned. Part two coming soon. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews
actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind The Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind The Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.